Look at verse 7. The Lord said, I will wipe my mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. And so, when you're God, this heartbreak can lead to a judgment. He had every right. This was his creation. He could clear the board and start over. We live in a culture that has intentionally taken apart and destroyed the family and our neighborhoods and our communities. And the attempt has been so that each of us thinks of ourselves as an autonomous individual that only answers to the government, because the government is the one who will take care of me. They'll provide my medical care, and they'll provide checks for me when I don't have a job or don't feel like having a job. That's what we've been going towards. And it is it any wonder now that we have disaffected boys taking guns into our schools and shooting people? They're angry people who've grown up without a dad and without all the other stuff that most of us who were a little bit older did grow up with. Having a family really means something, and it really is a privilege and a good thing. So this basic message, however you read the story here, this difficult portion of Scripture, is that human sin breaks God's heart. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Is it hard to believe or imagine that? Not for me. I see it all around, and I believe it's true. But then God does something amazing. Let's look at verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now that's a little, I want to show you something here that the author does. And this is the word, this is how Hebrew works. These are English letters, but Hebrew really doesn't use vowels, it just uses consonants. And so this is the word Noah, and the word for grace, Noach and Chen, and they're just opposites, and it's just a little ping, and it's the point here being that the author uses artistry in the literature to emphasize certain points. And so if you're concerned about the science, watch for the art, because a lot of the message is in the art of the literary. This book is just amazing. A lot has gone into it. So the point being that Noah and grace are really in the same place. God is saying there's rest here. There's grace here. Back in chapter 5 in the genealogy, when Noah appears, they called him Noah because he said, this one will give us a rest from the curse that we've been under. And so he was set apart for that. And so in the cacophony of human hubris, in the wickedness, in the corruption and the violence, God strikes a single note of grace here in this verse. After all these things, I am grieved that I have made humankind, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so, whenever things get thick, whenever they get tight and difficult, God says, look here. It's the one little candlelight. It's the one thing you weren't looking for or expecting. And he brings hope. God will work with one righteous person. And it says that here in the next verse 9, this is the account of Noah. You remember that Genesis is divided up into these accounts. the account of creation, and all the major characters are going to have their own section of the book called "This is the account of so-and-so." And those probably should have been the chapter divisions, but nonetheless, it says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Does anybody know of whom this has been said already in the first few chapters of Genesis? Chapter 5, I'll give you a clue. Shout it out. Enoch, yes, there is someone. So in chapter 5, there are a genealogy of 10 names. And the unique thing about that genealogy is at the end of each article, of each person, it says, and he died. Just so the question of whether Adam and Eve really were under the curse of death, you would know that, yep, got around to that part. And he died, except for one person. So out of the 10, 9, it says, of them, and he died. And this one person, Enoch, it said he walked with God and he was no more. He just walked right on out of this life. And so Noah gets connected up with two other people, Enoch and then later Elijah. Now, I don't think it says that Elijah walked with God, but it just literally says he walked right out of this life. He just got a ride straight to heaven. The chariot came, picked him up. So this is the company. This is the kind of guy that Noah is. And God can work with one righteous person. That's all he needs. He'll work with you in whatever situation you are. And I just want to leave my life. Could you leave me alone? I want to do my thing. And there's this message growing and growing in this book. And when we come to into the New Testament, we find out that Jesus is telling us that people who don't stand against wickedness and violence and corruption are part of the wickedness, corruption, and violence and all those bad things. He says this in Matthew 24. Jesus says, Matthew 24, verses 36 and following. No one knows about that day or hour. He's talking about the day of the Lord when he returns. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. Well, I eat food, I drink things, and I'm married. He's just talking about people living their lives. Is that so wrong? And Jesus says, I'm asking you to do more than that. I'm asking you to pay attention to what's going on around you. I'm asking you to be my servants. Jesus goes on. It was just going on this way up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it will be, he says, at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other be left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. It's a call to righteousness because Messiah is coming back. Judgment is coming. Is that message clear? Is that clear in the text? Absolutely it is. And it should be clear as a clear application in the world we live in today. So don't miss the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. It's coming. You can talk all you want about whether that boat is still up on Mount Ararat or not, but that's not the point of the text. Now, I like to read about all that stuff, and I have fun debating about it. But when it push comes to shove, this is what I have to pay attention to, Jesus says. Because it's just like in Noah's day. Now, God provided here, and here's part of the message. God had Noah build an ark. And what the ark is a place of safety for his people. Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. This is the new beginning of humanity. And there's going to be a whole series of these safe places that you're going to see in the Bible. And it just went off. I'll read them to you. We've seen one of them already. The garden was a safe place for humankind to be. And when they got thrown out of the garden, they were in trouble. And when Cain killed his brother, he had to even go away from the little group of people that were just huddled there at the garden gate. And he was terrified. And then we have this ark that Noah built. A safe place in the midst of judgment. And then we have another ark in the next book, the book of Exodus. It talks, the same word used to describe Noah's ark is used to describe the little basket that the baby Moses got placed in when they were forced to kill their male children. And so his mom made for him an ark and placed him in the rivers of the Nile. So in the dangerous waters, once again, God's people find safety in an ark. And then, are we there? Ooh. And then we find the same kind of language. There's construction language talked about to make the garden, that God set it up. Then construction language to talk about the ark that Noah built. And then there's, and these words are the same ones that get used to describe how it is that they will make the tabernacle. And then eventually, in the time of David and Solomon, the temple in the city of Jerusalem. A safe place for God's people to meet. And finally, we meet in Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus is our safe place. He said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. In other words, I am the dwelling place of God on earth right now. And guess where the dwelling place of God on earth is since Jesus returned to heaven? He says, I'm going so that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, as in you all. It's the church. Not the building. I hope the building's safe, but it's us. We're the safe place for God's people. We are the place where God meets us. And so God provides this dwelling place for his people. And this is about the list of 8 to 15 people that you have tucked into your Bible, I hope. And if you don't, or if you need a new one, there's one in the narthex for you. There's one on the website, on the church website. You can print out for yourself. A blank list for you to fill in for the people that God has set into your life that need to be on the ark. You need to call those people into the safe place, into the arms of the Lord Jesus. There is salvation, as in being saved from judgment. In other words, if you get on that ark, you really know what it means to be saved. Because what was outside the ark were animals and people floating, dead. Horrifying thing. Well, simple message, straightforward. A safe place for God's people. And then God takes a gamble. He says, I won't do this again. I won't flood again. He says, because you're just like that. He's beginning to define this thing that happened between Adam and all of us. The sin nature. Oh, he'll do judgment again. He does more focused judgments from here on forth. We're going to see him judge cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to see him judge the children of Israel in the wilderness when they rebel. We're going to see him judge the people in the land of Canaan who've been sacrificing their children to the fire gods. But God is refusing to exercise all of his available options for the sake of his people. That's what he's doing. And so when they get off of the ark, he says to them the same words that he said in the first creation, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. It's a second creation. And Noah is another, he's a do-over guy. He is Adam again. And God takes risks with his people. He takes a chance on us. We're his ambassadors. He could just do this himself. He came here in the flesh as one person, but he decided, I'm going back and I'm letting you do it. I'm going to work through you. And the thing is that we get another story at the end of Noah where Noah made a vineyard and he made wine. He got drunk and there was an incident where his sons saw him uncovered, unclothed, and he cursed one of his sons. And so you have, once again, you have fruit and you have nakedness involved in a problem in the second creation. It goes down as fast as the first creation went down. We have all failed. Just like Adam and Eve failed, like Noah failed, and yet Noah is called a righteous man, we have all failed as God's children. But we are not like the world in this. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we commit sins. But when we choose to walk with Jesus, we choose to live a different lifestyle. We choose not to live in that way, in rebellion and disobedience. So let me read for you as we close here. Just a little paragraph that the elders have been kind of working on for us to put as perhaps something on our website, perhaps just a way to reach out to the world that needs to be on this ark with God's people. If you experience emptiness, you don't need another distraction. You don't need people trying to make you think their life is great. Imagine finding deep satisfaction. Come along as we seek God together. And that is our appeal to the world, that they would know the Savior, the saving Savior, as we do, in his safe place, his ark. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all you give us. Thank you for giving us a safe place. Thank you for the fact that you care so much that your heart breaks when we are wrong, when we don't live up to being your children. We ask that you would help us to be ambassadors to this world, inviting this world to a safe place in the midst of a coming judgment, a righteous judgment for all that has happened around us. There's a lot of wickedness going on around us, Lord, and that will be answered for, and yet you ask us to remain your people in the midst of all of this. Bless us, Lord. Encourage us as we go forward, as Noah went forward in obedience. We ask all this for Jesus' sake today. Amen.